Perhaps there were many reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu felt ill-equipped to lead the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, but his chief point of frustration he expresses in the pasuk in this week's parsha: "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Bo Daber Al Paro Melech Mitzrayim Yishalachus Bnei Yisrael Me'artzo." Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "I want you to go take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim," and Moshe finally is able to express exactly what's bothering him. "Vaydaber Moshe Lefnei Hashem Lemar." Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai, ve'ich yishme'eni paro, v'ani arel svasayim. The b'nei Yisrael don't even want to listen to me. Why in the world would paro want to listen to me? And especially, and here he lets it be known, because I'm an arel svasayim. I have a speech impediment. I can't even speak in front of paro. How in the world am I supposed to convince paro to let the b'nei Yisrael go? I feel completely inadequate for the task. And you would expect that the Ribbono Shel Olam would answer him right on the spot, would tell him, reassure him somehow, give him something right off the bat. But the answer actually comes 20 psukim later. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Re'ein esaticha Elokim leparo, ve'elohim leparo, va'aron achicha yien viecha. That you are going to be superior to Paro, but don't worry, Aaron, your brother, will speak on your behalf. So you don't have to worry about the speaking part. Yours is a non-speaking part. And Aaron will take care of the speech. But why the intervention of 20 psukim? In between, 20 psukim. And what do those 20 psukim have? All about the yichus of Moshe and Aaron. Why the break? Also, the fact that Aaron will speak doesn't really address the first problem that Moshe raised. That even the Jews themselves weren't listening to him. So why would Paro listen? That question remains unanswered. The Ribbono Shel Olam only answers the question about, how am I supposed to speak? I'm in Aral Sfasayim. So Kodesh Baruch says, okay, so you won't speak. What about the fact that the Bnei Yisrael aren't willing to listen? Furthermore, we know that there are four Lashonos of Geula that are expressed. Ve'otzesi, ve'itzalti, ve'ga'alti, ve'lakachti. Four Lashonos of Geula, which of course lead on the night of the Seder to the Dalet Kosos, and all of the other fours that we have at the Seder, the four sons, the four questions. Now, what's the difference between Votzesi eschem mitacha sivlos mitzrayim, and v'yitzalti eschem me'avodasa? I understand the difference between the others, between v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Why is votzesi mitacha sivlos mitzrayim, Hashem will take us out from the sivlos mitzrayim, any different than v'yitzalti eschem me'avodasa, that Hashem will save us from the avoda of Mitzrayim? And why is it that only after the fourth element of geula, God finally declares, V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim? It's only after all four geulos are complete that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, then you're going to know that I'm the one that did v'hotzesi. Now the hotzah was stage one of geula. V'hotzesi is the first of the Dal Lashonos. The hotzah from sivlos Mitzrayim was the first geula. Why isn't it recognized until the last stage, when we're finally given the Torah, after it's all said and done? Finally, a third question. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Ches, very cryptic line, tells us, Kan mafikna luchu avinna luchu milsa keichi detedun dana afkis yaschun. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, when I take you out, I'm going to do something that's going to make you recognize, going to make you realize that I'm the one who took you out. What does that refer to? Why don't we know before that God took us out? Didn't we see the Ten Makos? Didn't we see all the miracles that God did on the way? No, after it's all said and done, you're going to realize that it's Ribbono Shel Olam who took you out. Why only after it's all said and done? So again, three questions. Question number one, why does the response to Moshe Rabbeinu's problem of how am I going to convince the Bnei Yisrael, I'm unable to speak, why does the response only come 20 psukim later? And in the interim, we're distracted by a whole story about the yichus of Moshe and Aaron. Question number two, why are these four lashonos of geula, which seem to be four stages, v'otzesi, v'itzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti, why does the Torah set it up that only after the final stage are we going to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was motzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, that v'otzesi was actually fulfilled? That's aside from the point that v'otzesi and v'itzalti seem very similar. And question number three, what in the world does the Gemara mean when it says that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out, then we're going to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out? So in order to answer these questions, Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, who is the last chief rabbi of Krakow, a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer from both his mother's and his father's side, in his Chidushei Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia, which is a sefer that was introduced to me by Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Levracha. I never met personally, but through listening to his Parsha tapes, through listening to his shiurim, he used to always love to quote Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. And there's a reason he loved to quote him. First of all, no one has the sefer. It's a very hard sefer to come by. And second of all, the drushos are unbelievable. Unbelievable ability to darshan that Rav Yosef Nechemia had. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal darshan. He was also a first-rate Talmud Chacham. I happen to own a set of his Shalos and Tshuvas as well. So in addition to being a darshan, he was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. So I happen to have a relationship with his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. They got me a copy of the Sefer. So anyway, Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer explains, to answer all these questions, with the following idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, "Vayomer Avram Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yizaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem Va'avodum Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'er Shana." Now, Ribon Shalom tells us about the avdus. Tells Avram about the avdus that his children are going to go through, but there are two very distinct curses that he goes through. First, they're going to be in a land that is not theirs. They're going to be in Eretz Lo Lahem. They won't have self-rule, their own system of government, etc. None of that will be theirs. Second, they're going to be slaves. They'll do extremely difficult labor and will be under the worst of conditions. Now this, Rav Yosef Nechemia explains, the Sivlos Mitzrayim is the curse of being ruled by others. In fact, Rashi says three words on the word Sivlos, Toreach Masa Mitzrayim. The Avdus, on the other hand, is the slave labor itself. So there's a difference between Sivlos and Avdus. The Sivlos Mitzrayim is just the fact that we are in the control of other people. The avdus of Mitzrayim is the actual difficult labor that we have to do. Now, by definition, sivlos aren't always bad. Some people are better off being ruled by others. Some aren't cut out to be leaders and will ultimately be much more successful working within the construct of somebody else's organization than going out on their own. There are some very, very successful businessmen who cannot succeed if they would start their own businesses, but do quite well when they work for others. They work their way up the corporate ladder and they do fairly well. Sivlos are only painful when you know that you can do more. And especially when you know that your boss, or the one who rules over you, is a nobody, a lowlife, and a nothing, and you're 10 times smarter than he is, and more capable than he is. Similarly, somebody who never thought of himself as anything more than an Evan, if a person knows his place, he's a guy in the mailroom. So he feels that he's not going to feel a sense of the Sivlos Mitzrayim. He may feel a sense of the Avdus. He may feel a sense that he's working too hard, that it's too difficult a job, too little pay. But the Sivlos, the fact that he has a boss, that's what he is. He knows that he has a boss. He knows he's always going to have a boss. He knows that's how he does best. He's not worried about the fact that he has a boss. There's a famous story Rav Aaron Kahn likes to tell, that Rothschild was once in a jolly kind of mood, and an ani came to his door, and Rothschild said, "Before I give you any money, let me ask you a question. If you, the ani, you had all of my money, all of Rothschild's money, what would you do with the money?" And the ani said, "What would I do if I had your money? What would I do with the money? Do you think for a moment I would walk from door to door collecting? No, if I had your money, I would hire a horse-drawn chariot to take me from door to door collecting." And you see just what the mentality of the ani is. He views himself as an ani. That's what he is. He can't think of himself as anything more. Whatever he is in life, he's going to be going from door to door collecting. He can't imagine, even with all the money in the world, that he's actually going to be the boss. He's not equipped to feel a sense of Sivlos Mitzrayim, a sense of why do I have to be the Eved and that guy have to be the one on top. That he doesn't feel. But a sense of the Avdus, that he can feel. Shlomo Melch says in Koheles, "Re'isi avadim al susim, v'sarim holchim ka'avadim al ha'aretz." I've seen avadim riding on horses, and sarim, officers, and important people, important officials, going like the slaves leading the horses. Now the tragedy is not in the fact that there's a man leading a horse. That's natural. There's a man leading the horse. Someone's on the horse, someone else is leading it. The tragedy is in the fact that look who's doing the leading and who's sitting on the horse. The tragedy is look at the it's an olam hafuch. It's the wrong people in the wrong places. That's the Sivlos Mitzrayim. So when in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people didn't have a sense of the pain of the Sivlos Mitzrayim. The pasuk says, "Ve'anchu b'nei Yisrael." What were we suffering from? Min ha'avoda. It's the avoda that bothered us. they were only able to appreciate the difficulty of the labor, not the fact that they were more esteemed, that they happened to be more esteemed people than the Egyptians, and that they had the capability of self-rule, and that they're really B'nai Malachim, and they're really great people, and they're the Am HaNivchar. They didn't sense any of that yet. For people born into slavery, it's difficult to fathom life in any other way. They view themselves as slaves. There's no sense of the civilis Mitzrayim. There was a sense of Yanchu B'nai Yisrael min ha'avoda, of a problem that they had trouble with the avoda. The work was so difficult. Now, based on this, Yisod Rav Yosef Nechemya says we can answer all the questions that we began with. Moshe asks Hashem, how will Paro appreciate the civilis Mitzrayim if the B'nai Yisrael themselves don't appreciate it? You're making these promises. I'm going to take you from Mitoch Sivlos Mitzrayim. I'm going to take you out and people are going to realize, and Paro is going to realize how backwards it was that he was in charge of them. They don't even realize it. How am I going to convince Paro to free a people who never even dreamed of freedom? And to that God answers, look, I have 20 psukim to tell you. Look at your yichus. Carry yourself like a Ben Amram. Carry yourself like an Ish Mibeis Levi. Understand that you are of royal stock, and you belong in a better place, and find a way to express that through the way you act, through the way you carry yourself, through the way you express yourself. And understand that Heim Hamedabrim El Paro Melech Mitzrayim Lotzias Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Hu Moshe V'Aaron. You should know you're not just two schnooks going in front of Paro, you're Moshe and Aaron. You know who you are. You're B'nai Malachim. Then the only way that he won't listen is if Ani Akshay Slave Paro. The only way he won't listen is if I harden his heart. Because he'll understand, he'll appreciate it. He'll see the royalty. He'll see that you're something special. But you have to believe it yourself first. You want the B'nai Yisrael to believe you? You have to carry yourself in that way. And they'll believe it too. A slave cannot appreciate the sivlos until he experiences a taste of success. Only after Matan Torah are we ready to appreciate what kind of pain the sivlos Mitzrayim actually was. Indeed, the pasuk says, "V'yidatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim." That only after it's all done, after we have the Matan Torah, we have all four Lashonos of Geula are complete, and we're going to see just how high we can rise, how we can go from the 49th level of Tumah to the 49th level of Kedusha and Tahara. We're going to see how great we actually can become. Then we're going to first appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Motzi Osanu Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. We can't see it earlier than that, because we can't appreciate just how wrong it was and how backwards it was. And that also explains the Gemara in Brachos. The Ribon Shalom says that after he takes us out, he's going to do something for us. What's he going to do for us? Specifically raise our self-esteem and our understanding of our own capabilities, and that's going to make us realize just how great the Geula was. That's exactly what the Gemara in Brachos is saying. Kad mafiknu l'chun, when I take you out of Mitzrayim, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, kad mafiknu l'chu, avinu l'chu milsa, I'm going to do something for you, I'm going to give you a sense of self-esteem, a sense of who you are, ki eichid etedun da'na afkis yaschun, in order for you to realize what I took you out from. Exactly what I did for you. You're not even going to appreciate what Gula means. You're going to think of Gula as Gula from Avdus. You're not going to even realize that it's Gula from the Sivlos Mitzrayim until you build up your own self-esteem, your own sense of nationhood, your own sense of who you are. Perhaps the message from this is, I think the message is fairly obvious, that very often people set artificial ceilings for themselves. We view ourselves as successful because our definition of success is within a very limited construct. You know, I once was talking to one of my rebbeim of silver in Eretz Yisrael, and he was talking to me about what you're going to be down the road in life. And I said, you know what? I plan on learning the Daf Yomi every single day. And he said, learning the Daf Yomi every single day? What? You should be saying the Shir every single day. And you should be saying other Shiurim. And you should be... So we have these preconceived notions of what we can be, and we don't realize, we think of ourselves as successful, because we don't realize just how much higher we can reach. We don't realize just how backwards it is that we have such limited dreams for what we can do. We think, okay, so I go to Minyan every day, and I learn a little bit every day, so that's it, I'm accomplished, I did right. But there's so much more. If you can do that, don't you think you can share Torah? Don't you think you can make Bikoveya more Itim? Don't you think you could do more Chesed? Don't you think there's more that you can do? When we dream high, when we dream of greater things for ourselves, then we're going to be able to accomplish all the more. And then we will have truly fulfilled the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that He took us out, Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim.